I was the beloved disciple of their master when on earth, and I know what it means to have the great love of such a master and friend. I see that you are opening up your soul to the divine influences, and that very soon you will find that through your soul perceptions, you will be enabled to see and understand many, many things which are now hidden from you. And what an opening of the soul perceptions that will prove to be. Even the spirits who are in portions of the celestial heavens will not have the great truths presented to them as will you, and they are seeking these truths in great earnestness. But you are in a position that they are not, to make known to the world these great truths. And while all this will not be done primarily for your benefit, yet you will receive such knowledge of these truths and such inflowing of the divine love as you write, that you will find yourself in a condition of soul development that rarely have mortals experienced. So pray and believe, and when I say believe, try to get that great faith of which the Master wrote you, the faith that makes all the longings and aspirations of the soul realities. I could write much more but think it best not to do so tonight. So with all my love and blessings, I'm your brother in Christ, John, the beloved disciple of the Master in my time, and which you are now. I am here, say Liba. Yes, I only wanted to say that I am very happy, and feel that I must tell you because you first caused me to seek this love and to find the way to my soul's development. I know that you are not so much interested in me as in some others who write to you, but I further know that no one feels more grateful to you than I do. So you see, as I progress, I must come and tell you of my happiness. Yes, that is what I want, and you seem to understand just what is necessary, and I am glad that I can come to you. So my dear brother, think of me sometimes and pray to the Father to give me more of his divine love that makes me at one with him. I will not write more, but will say good night. Your sister in Christ, say Liba. October 19, 1915. I am here, Luther. I came to tell you that you are not much benefited by the book, Pastor Russell's Atonement, you have been reading tonight, because it ignores the very foundation of the plan of man's redemption, that is the Divine Love 237, the Paget Messages 1915, which the Father bestowed on mankind at the coming of Jesus. The blood atonement is all wrong and misleading, and has done much harm to the truths of God and to mankind. I will admit that there are many truths stated in the book and many that will do much good to humanity to understand and believe, but because of the great error in the vital point of the declaration as to the plan of man's salvation, these truths which the book contains may not do the good that they otherwise might. Of course, you who understand the true plan of salvation may make the true discrimination between those declarations which declare the truth and those which do not. But on the whole, I do not see that the teachings of the book will do you much good. Well, I knows that the passage in John refers to the spirits of men who once lived on earth and who communicated to the members of the early church in their places of worship, and elsewhere John has explained to you, and what he said, I have been informed by others of the apostles, is true. The author of that book has certain theories, and, of course, he is construing all the teachings of the Bible in such a way as to sustain his theories. But he is wrong, as he will discover when he comes to the spirit world. He teaches that the soul as well as the body of man goes into the grave to await the great day of judgment, and there is no such place as the spirit world inhabited by the spirits of departed mortals, and to maintain this position he quotes from some of the old books of the Bible. But these books were not written by men inspired by God to declare the truths, and the quoted expressions are merely the result of the purely human minds of the authors, who did not know what they wrote to be a fact, but because of the conditions in which they were in, they concluded that such assertions must be true. Let not the writings of these old writers or of the present-day writers either, cause you to hesitate to believe what the Master may write as being true. I merely wanted to say this as I saw that you are interested in this book, and I wanted to warn you against letting it influence you in any way. Yes, I say that Jesus Christ did come in the flesh, and I know it, for he is here a spirit and once lived on earth, but that fact does not prove that any spirit who acknowledges that, is a true follower of him or a redeemed spirit of the Father. There are many spirits in the spirit world who believe that Jesus, the spirit whom they sometimes 238, meet, once lived as a mortal, and would, if asked, say that he lived in the flesh, but they are not believers in the divine love of the Father, or have had the benefit of his great plan of salvation or acknowledged him as the Savior from sin and error, so that the test set forth in the Bible may have been considered a true test in the days of the early church, yet it is not now a very safe one for the reason that I have mentioned. And if a test is necessary, I think a better one would be, try the spirits and everyone who does not acknowledge that Jesus is the best beloved Son of God, and brought to the knowledge of mankind the ribstowel of the divine love, and declared to men the way in which that love may be obtained, is not a spirit that should be communicated with for the purpose of learning spiritual truths. This test is better, because no spirit who has not received this divine love, or the new birth, will acknowledge the existence of these things, because it is no knowledge upon which to make the acknowledgement. I must not write more tonight, but I hope the little that I have said may help you and others who have doubts, as to what the meaning of that part of the Bible, which refers to the trying of the spirits, is. I am very anxious to write you again as to some of the higher truths pertaining to the spirit world, and soon I hope that I may have the opportunity. I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, Martin Luther. I am General Grant. I was the president of your country and also the general of the federal armies. Well, I want to say that I am in a condition of comparative happiness, but not entirely relieved from my darkness or sufferings. I had a great many sins to answer for and many penalties to pay, and during the years since my death I have suffered much and experienced great darkness. But thanks be to God, I am emerging from these conditions and am having my spiritual eyes open to the truths of God and the necessity of obtaining His love and favor. As you may know, when on earth I attended the Methodist Church, but my religious knowledge was merely that which comes from an assent of the mind to certain propositions, or rather doctrines, of the Church. I knew nothing of the soul development or of the divine love, or of any of those attributes of the Father which were necessary to my becoming a redeemed spirit and an accepted child of God. The Paget Messages 1915. I am in the second sphere, where are many of my old comrades in arms, and many who were antagonistic in the great war of the rebellion. But we are no longer enemies, for we have obtained sufficient love to become friends, and to know that war and hatred and murder are not in accord with God's laws, or approved by Him. And we are now seeking only love, and trying to apply the golden rule in our lives here. Well, I am somewhat surprised that I can communicate with you in this way, for while I have attended some seances and made my presence known in other ways and by other manifestations, I never before had the opportunity to do so by this method of writing, and I must say, it is the most satisfactory of my experiences. As this is my first appearance, and coming without an invitation, though some of your band which is here signified their assent, I do not feel that I should longer intrude. Well, I have been interested in this great and bloody war, and have visited the scenes of many battles and the headquarters of the officers of both sides, and have heard their plans discussed, and have learned what their expectations were. It is rather early in the game to form an opinion as to the outcome, but judging from the facts, as I have been able to gather them, and from the conditions of the armies and means of carrying on the war, of both sides, I am rather inclined to think the Allies will win. This I say in a perfectly unbiased way, as I have no bias or prejudice for either side. But this I do know, that no human being can at all estimate the great injury that will be done to the various countries or to the progress of the human race in the things material. But God rules and the right will prevail, as I believe. Sometime later, if agreeable, I will write you further on this matter. I will now say good night. Your friend, U. S. Grant. I am here, General S. _ Can't write name, no, it seems not, how strange. White Eagle. He says his name was General Sherman and that he wants to write a letter. Well, I tried to write my name, but I could not. What do you think was the cause? Why, damn it, I have written my name more times than there are stars in the heavens, and yet I was not able to write it here. Well, that is what I called war, hell. I don't mean to be profane, but the idea, that I could not write my name. 239. Well, As Grunt and I are very close friends here, as we were on Earth, I thought that as he wrote a letter I would like to do so also. Just as he said about himself, I say, I am in some darkness and suffering, paying the penalties of my evil deeds on Earth, and for what I neglected to do in the way of performing my duties when I had so many to perform, and so many opportunities. I am in the same sphere with him, but he is in a higher plane, and is not in such darkness as I am. I am not a Christian yet, but hope to be sometime, as I have some dear friends here who are, and they are trying to persuade me to become a Christian, but as you may not know, I never could be persuaded on Earth, and it is difficult to be persuaded here. I am enjoying this new experience in writing to you, and to me this is very surprising, but is very satisfactory. I wonder how such a thing can be. I have attended seances when my Earth friends have attended, and have tried to make myself known to them and to some extent have succeeded, but not in the way that I am doing now. I am afraid that if you are not careful I shall steal up on you and write many times so that you will wish that I had never come. Well, my dear boy, I am certainly glad that you recalled these reminiscences. Of course, with all the people that I met in those days, I cannot remember you, as we only had a passing handshake, but I am certainly glad that you recall those times, and more glad that I can be with you now, and things will be reversed now, for I will be the one who will not forget, while you, considering the great number of spirits who come to you to write, and the great number who are around you ready to write, I hardly expect that you will find time to give me much thought. Well, I don't quite understand you, but if you can show me the way to obtaining such a condition of soul and such a degree of happiness, I will certainly accept your kind offer, and will try my best to follow your advice. But really, I don't see how you can accomplish this. Yes, I remember Riddle very well, and he was a very dear friend of mine, but why do you ask that question? Is he involved in the redemption of me? He was a very dear friend, but I doubt that he can do what you seem to imply. I have done as you advised, and I must confess my surprise to see Riddle in the band that you speak of, and what a beautiful and bright spirit he is. How in the world did he get in that condition? When on Earth he was somewhat like myself, A. The Paget Messages 1915, Free Thinker, and Gust sometimes. But I must speak to him and learn what it means. Well, I have been introduced to your grandmother, and what a glorious spirit she is. I never before saw such spirits. They must live in spheres far above where I live. Riddle says I am the same old, rough, wicked Sherman, and wants me to go with him, and I will go, and I will not forget to request a few words with your grandmother. I will ask him, R.G. Ingersoll, now. He seems so beautiful and bright. 2. What does it mean? Ingersoll says it means that he has become a believer in the great love of the Father and is a follower of Jesus Christ. What a surprise and what a change in Ingersoll. My friend, I cannot write more as I am all upset by what I have seen and heard, so excuse me, I will say good night. Your friend, William T. Sherman. Well, I am here, your Helen. You have had some rather surprising communications tonight. We thought that it would be right to let the two old generals write, as they seem to be so anxious, and I believe that they will find their salvation by having done so. Mr. Riddle was very glad to have General Sherman come to him, and also General Grant, and he is now with both of them, telling them his experiences in the spirit world and the cause of his beauty and brightness. And Ingersoll breaks in once in a while, and tells them that when they hear his experience in becoming converted to Christianity they will be more surprised than they were when the cannonballs blew across their quarters in the war. So you see what good this little thing of being able to communicate with spirits is doing. Oh my dear Ned, I am so happy that you have this great opportunity of doing good, and I know that you feel the same way. It is late and you must stop writing. So with all my love, I am your own true and loving, Helen. October 23, 1915. I am the spirit of Aaron, the prophet of the Old Testament and the brother of Moses, as it is written. I merely want to say that as you read the message from the spirit of Henry Ward Beecher, I read also, and that is a wonderful description of 240, what immortality is, and how it first was given to mankind after the fall of the first parents. I know the truth of what he wrote, for I experienced the want of this divine love for many thousand years before the coming of Jesus and the bestowal of this divine love, which is the only thing in all God's universe that can bring to man immortality. So, let this great truth be preached to all the world, and let man know that until he gets this divine love he can never become immortal. It is so difficult for man to understand this truth, and for those who come forward as the teachers of men in spiritual things to comprehend that only this love will save them from their sins, and make them a part of the divinity of the Father, and certain of immortality. I lived at a time when we had not the privilege of getting this love, and, as a consequence, immortality, and we had to find our happiness in our natural love, and that meant a love towards God as well as towards our fellow man. But this love, while it enabled us to experience much happiness, yet it did not give that divine essence or nature which now makes our happiness supreme and also at one with the Father. I had many experiences in teaching the Hebrew children that there was only one God, but at that time my conception of God was not what it is now. I then thought more of him as a God of wrath and jealousy than as a God of love and mercy. In my contest with the magicians of the Egyptian pharaohs, I was afforded the help of the spirit world, and unusual powers were given me, such as I had never had before nor ever afterwards, but it was for the purpose of causing the king to let the people of God, as we called ourselves, depart from Egypt. When this was accomplished, I never again possessed those powers or had any occasion to. But those powers were merely the influences that came from the spirit world, and God himself did not speak to me or to Moses, as it is written. Merely his spirits or angels told us what we must do, and gave us the power to do it. This power is still existing, and should the occasion arise again, it will be given to the instrumentality that may be selected to do the will of the Father. Even as to Jesus, who had the greatest power conferred upon him of any mortal that ever lived, this power was given him by the angels of God in obedience to the commands of the Father. The Paget Messages 19:15. I cannot explain to you now in what way these commands were given by God, for you would not understand me, if I should make the attempt. But suffice it to say, that the higher angels have such soul perceptions that they can receive and understand these instructions of the Father. All this is, I know, strange to you, but it is true. And because you do not understand, you must not doubt that there is such a close relationship between God and his celestial spirits that they know what the will of the Father is. I am in a celestial sphere and am very high up, but not so high as are the apostles. But I am high enough to know to be true what I write you of my own knowledge. I will not write more tonight, but it will come again sometime and instruct you in the laws obtaining in our celestial spheres. So with all my love, I will say that I am, your brother in Christ, Aaron. The prophet of old, I am the spirit of Sarah, I was the wife of Abraham. I want to tell you that I am now a Christian and live in the celestial spheres. Yes, but there are many things in the Bible that are not true. Well, when it says that I sent Hagar into the desert, or caused her to be sent into the desert, to starve and die, that story was a slander on me, and did me great injustice, because I was not such a wicked woman. Abraham did not send her there either, but she went of her own accord, because she had done that which condemned her in her own conscience. Well, she had taken my husband and had a child by him. I know that the Bible says that it was commanded by God, or that I prevailed upon Abraham to have a child by her, but it is not true. Yes, I am happy, and so is Abraham and our son Isaac, and his son Jacob, but they were without this divine love for a great many years, as it only came to us when the Master came to earth. I know that you think it strange that I should come to you and write, but as I was with Aaron in the earth plane, and was attracted to you by the light which fills the space around you, I followed Aaron and came to you, and after he wrote, I wrote also. Yes, I see a great number of beautiful spirits around you, and some of the apostles who are so very beautiful and bright. They seem to be so much interested in you, and say that you have been selected to do the work of the Master on earth in the way of revealing the truths which he shall write to you. I don't quite understand it all. But if the 241 Master says it is what shall be done, you will do it. I must stop now, but please believe that I am Sarah as I have told you. I will leave you now and say good night. Your sister in Christ, Sarah, the wife of Abraham, October 24, 1915. I am here, Saint Luke, writer of the third gospel that was. I was with you tonight at the meeting of the spiritualists, and heard the statement of the speaker as to the probabilities of what became of the body of Jesus after the crucifixion. I was not present at the crucifixion, and, of course, do not personally know what became of the body of Jesus, but I have been told by those who were present that the Bible description of his burial in the tomb of Joseph was true. The body was buried in the tomb of Joseph and was left there by those who placed it in the tomb, which was sealed and a guard set over it to prevent anyone from approaching and interfering with the body, because Jesus had predicted that in 3 days he would rise again. After the tomb was sealed, Jesus arose, and without his body of flesh passed from the tomb and descended into the lower spheres where the dark spirits lived in their ignorance and sufferings, and preached to them the ribstowel of the gift of immortality. Its component parts became disseminated by Jesus in the surrounding atmosphere, and he retained only the spiritual body in which he afterwards appeared to the disciples and others. When he appeared at the meeting of the apostles, where Thomas, the doubter, was present, he recalled to his form, as you will better understand by my using such expression, elements of the material, so that in appearance the body was as much like flesh and blood as when it was placed in the tomb, and before he disseminated these elements, as I have said, the flesh and blood which encloses the spirit form of man, as you may have heard, is continually changing in obedience to the ordinary laws of nature as understood by man. And when Jesus, who understood and had power to call into operation other laws of nature, caused such other laws to operate, that the dissemination of the elements of the Paget Messages 1915, flesh and blood took place, and he was left only with the spirit form. This, I know, has been a great mystery to mankind since the time of the discovery of its absence by the watchman at his tomb, and because of being such mystery, and as an only explanation of such disappearance, men have believed and taught that his body of flesh and blood actually arose from the dead, and, therefore, the real body of flesh and blood of mortals will also arise in what they call the Great Resurrection Day. But no body of flesh and blood arose, and the spirit form of Jesus did not remain in the tomb after the dissemination of the material body, for no tomb or other place could confine the spirit. You will remember that on the third day Jesus appeared to Mary, who was most intimate and familiar with the appearance of Jesus, and yet she did not recognize him, but thought he was the gardener, and so with the disciples who were traveling with him to Emmaus. Now, if he had retained his body of flesh and blood, do you not suppose that they would have recognized him? If he had the power to resume that material body into which Thomas thrust his hand and found it to be a body in appearance of flesh and blood, do you think it strange or wonderful that he would have had the power to cast off his earthly body while in the tomb and cause it to disappear into thin air? This, I am informed, is the true explanation of the disappearance of the material body of Jesus, and to me and to others who understand the laws of nature, I mean that nature that is beyond the ken, mental perception, of men, it is not surprising or worthy to be deemed a mystery. I am glad that I went with you to the meeting tonight, as I became impressed with the desirability of making this great mystery a mystery no longer. With all my love, I'm your brother in Christ, Luke. I am here, Thomas Carlyle. I merely want to say that I was present when Luke wrote and heard what he said and was much interested. This very question used to be a great stumbling block to my belief in the resurrection of Jesus, because it seemed to me that the resurrection of the material body was so improbable under the circumstances as narrated in the Bible, that it was difficult for me to believe the story. But now I can understand very readily, because I am acquainted with the laws governing the formation and disintegration of the 242 material things of earth, and I know that there is a law which would enable a person with the knowledge and power that Jesus had at the time of his death, to cause the disintegration of the material, as the scientists say, so that they would disappear into the surrounding atmosphere. I wish that I had understood this fact when a mortal, for then many other things would have appeared to me as probably true, and L would have been in a different state of belief as to spiritual things, and my progress here towards higher spheres would not have been delayed. It is to be deplored that this so-called mystery was not explained in the Bible, for had it been, man would not now be in darkness as to the meaning of the resurrection, and the many thousands who believe that the soul and spirit go into the grave to await the great judgment day, would not be in such condition of delusion and have to suffer the consequences of such false belief in the stagnation of their soul progression, which will surely come to them. I hope you will give this explanation to the world and let men know the truth, that there will be no resurrection of the body of flesh containing the soul or spirit as taught by the churches. I will not write more tonight, but it will come again. Your brother in Christ, Thomas Carlyle. October 25, 1915. I am here, Jesus. I have heard your discussion and am much pleased that you and your friend are progressing so rapidly in the knowledge of truth, and very soon you both will be surprised at the extent of knowledge of spiritual things and truths that will come to you. No man, who on earth is given to only what you may call the material things, will be able, when he becomes a spirit, to understand the spiritual laws, until he has gotten rid of the material mind, and the reasoning that comes from the powers which have been exercised only in the investigation of material things. You cannot perceive spiritual things with the material mind, neither can a man by reason of those powers of the mind which know only material things, be able to perceive the truths of the spirit. Hence the necessity for man cultivating the soul perceptions, which are greater and more comprehending than all the faculties of the material mind. Mind, as usually understood by man, is undoubtedly a wonderful instrument in the Paget Messages 1915, investigating and learning the laws of nature and the relation of cause and effect in the physical world, but such powers when applied to the things of the spirit, will not help much, but rather retard the progress of the soul's development of its faculties. The reasoning power given to man is the highest quality of the material mind and, when properly exercised, affords a very safe and satisfactory method of arriving at the truth. But such power when exercised in reference to things which are strangers to it, or with which such powers having no acquaintance, or have never been concerned in the investigation of the phenomena of their existence, cannot be depended upon to bring conclusions that will assure men of truth. Laws are eternal and never change and are made by the Great Father to be applied to all the conditions and to all the relationships of the material world and of the spiritual world. But the laws that apply to the operations of the material world are not fitted to apply to the operations of the spiritual world, and the man who understands the former and their application to material things is not able to apply the laws applicable to the spiritual world to spiritual things. A knowledge of the laws pertaining to the natural will not supply a knowledge of the laws pertaining to the spiritual. And hence the great scientist who, when on earth, was able to discover and show the operation of the laws controlling material things, when he comes to the spiritual world and attempts to apply this knowledge to the things of the spirit, will be wholly unable to do so, and will be as a babe in his ability to understand and draw deductions from the spiritual laws. So you see the necessity for man's becoming acquainted with these spiritual laws, if he expects to progress in things to which they apply. The material laws may be learned from by the operation of the senses that belong to and constitute the material mind, but the spiritual laws can only be learned by the exercise and application of the faculties of the soul. The soul is to the spiritual things of God what the mind is to the material things of God. And the great mistake that men make and have made, is to attempt to learn these spiritual things with the powers of the material mind. I write thus because I see that you and your friend desire to learn the nature and operations and workings of the spiritual things, and hence I want to impress upon you the necessity for exercising the soul perceptions which will come to you as 243, your soul develops. These perceptions are just as real as are the five senses of the natural mind, though most men do not even know of their existence. And when once you have succeeded in understanding that they do exist and that you may be able to use them just as you use the faculties of the material mind, you will be able to progress in the development of these faculties or perceptions with as much success and certainty as does the great scientist or philosopher in the studies of the things to which he applies the faculties of his material mind. I hope that I have made plain what I intend to convey. I will not write more tonight, but say let your faith increase and pray more to the Father, and you will see open up to you a wonderful vista of knowledge of the truths of the Spirit. Your friend and brother, Jesus. I am here, Caligula.